In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 187, Devotions to the Blessed Sacrament. And we have an image of a Eucharistic Congress, and I will just read the caption. The 28th International Eucharistic Congress, held in Chicago in June 1926, was one of the greatest religious events in the history of our country. The Congress was held in Soldiers Field, an immense stadium with a capacity of 350,000. 12 cardinals, over 500 archbishops and bishops, 6,000 priests, 10,000 sisters, and hundreds of thousands of people gathered in Chicago for 4 days to honor Jesus in the Blessed Eucharist. On the last day, the solemn procession took place on the grounds of the large seminary of Moudelon. Over 900,000 faithful gathered to honor our Eucharistic Lord. The cardinal legate of the Holy Father carried the sacred monstrance. This Congress of devotion and prayer struck a contrast with the usual commercial and busy life of that great city. Even the President of the United States sent his personal representative. Every 2 years or so, the Catholic world gathers in such an international Congress to honor our Lord in the Blessed Eucharist. The latest Congresses have been Rome in 1922, Amsterdam 1924, Sydney 1928, Carthage in 1930, Dublin in 1932, Buenos Aires in 1934, and Manila in 1937. It is considered a great honor for a city to be chosen for an international Eucharistic Congress. Different nations always vie for the honor of standing host to our blessed Lord during an international Congress. The illustration is a view of the Women's Day during the International Eucharistic Congress in Chicago in 1926. That's the caption for the picture. We will begin now with the first question. What are the most important devotions to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament? The most important devotions to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament are visits, benediction, exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, the 40 hours devotion, and Eucharistic Congresses. We should make visits to honor Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. If possible, we should make at least one daily visit. When passing a church, we should go in, if only for half a minute, to greet Him who always waits patiently and eagerly for us. Cardinal Bellarmine, while still a student, used to pay a visit to the Blessed Sacrament every time he passed a church. When he was asked why he did this, he answered, "It would be ill manners to go by a friend's house without a word of greeting. The church door is always open to admit us, a constant invitation to us to visit our Lord, who calls, 'Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest.'" Second, we have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament is a devotion during which the Holy Eucharist is exposed, prayers are said, and the blessing is given. It usually lasts from 10 minutes to half an hour. When the Blessed Sacrament is exposed, the Salutaris Hostia, or Ave Verum, is usually sung. Just before the blessing is given, the Tantum Ergo is sung. The Blessed Sacrament is incensed when first exposed and during the Tantum Ergo. Exposition of the Blessed Sacrament consist in placing the sacred host in a monstrance at some height above the altar for the adoration of the faithful. The Blessed Sacrament is solemnly exposed on certain occasions, as after the parochial Mass, in the afternoon services on Sundays and holy days, on the feast of Corpus Christi, etc. The number of lighted tapers, unless there be special concession, must not be less than 12. During the exposition, someone must always be on guard in the church. An all-night vigil is kept before the Blessed Sacrament in the repository on the night of Holy Thursday. In many places, an all-night vigil is also held on New Year's Eve. It is usual, except for extraordinary cases, to pray before the solemnly exposed sacrament on our knees. If it is discourteous to sit in the presence of an earthly king, how much more is it before the Son of God? The 40 hours devotion is a devotion, The 40 hours devotion is a devotion to the Blessed Sacrament in memory of the 40 hours during which the body of Jesus stayed in the Holy Sepulchre after his burial on Good Friday, up to his resurrection on Easter. The devotion lasts 40 hours, during which relays of adorers take turns offering prayers and meditation to Christ in the Blessed Eucharist solemnly exposed. The devotion begins on the first day with Holy Mass in honor of the Blessed Sacrament. At the end of the Mass, there is a solemn procession, and the Blessed Sacrament is exposed on the throne at the high altar. The devotion ends with another Mass. During the 40 hours, no Requiem Masses may be said in the church. What is a Eucharistic Congress? A Eucharistic Congress is a gathering of Catholics which convenes for the purpose of giving public adoration to the Eucharist. The first Eucharistic Congress was held at Lille, France, on June 21, 1881. These congresses aim to promote devotion to our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, to honor him in the memorial he left us. They aim to discuss means by which to make known Christ's gift to men. They may be local, provincial, diocesan, national, or international. National congresses are held in a number of nations every few years. The exercises of the Congress include daily Masses attended by all the participants, daily communions, conferences, etc. Sometimes the participants are divided into various sections for better discussions and organization. The most important of these Congresses is the International Eucharistic Congress. It was started in 1892 and takes place every 2 years. The place is selected by a permanent committee with the approbation of the Holy Father. It is customary for the Pope to appoint a legate, usually a cardinal, to international congresses. He presides over the most important functions as the representative of the Holy Father. These international congresses, attended by hundreds of thousands, are most pleasing to our Lord in the Eucharist. This satisfaction he shows by the fruitful results of such congresses. The spiritual life of the participants is renewed, and not rarely many who have become indifferent to the faith renew their fervor. The spectacle of the devotion and piety of so many adoring the sacrament is an edifying spectacle to non-Catholics, thousands of whom are converted. The nation selected for the Congress is specially blessed. The latest International Eucharistic Congresses have been Rome in 1922, Amsterdam 1924, Chicago 1926, Sydney 1928, Carthage 1930, Dublin 1932, Buenos Aires in 1934, Manila 1937, and Budapest in 1938. It is surely a signal honor for a city to be chosen seat of an International Eucharistic Congress. The 35th International Congress was to have been held at Nice, France, in 1940, but was suspended because of the war. Of the latest International Eucharistic Congresses, that of Manila was probably the most international. Pilgrims coming to represent 44 nations of Asia, Europe, the Americas, and Australia. On the last day, the solemn procession of the Blessed Sacrament took place along Dewey Boulevard by the sea, winding up at the monumental altar on the new Luneta. It is officially estimated that over 600,000 people gathered for this last ceremony to honor our Eucharistic Lord. What are Catholic Congresses? Catholic Congresses are public conferences or gatherings of Catholics for either devotional or practical purposes. Some Congresses, like Eucharistic Congresses, are chiefly devotional. Others aim at taking counsel and proposing steps to meet the needs of the Church. However, these Congresses do not take part in or interfere with the government of the Church, which resides exclusively in the bishops. They merely cooperate, support, make suggestions in order to make such government more effective. Each Congress must have the authorization of the bishop. That concludes our reading for the devotions to the Blessed Sacrament. I guess my only comment was I was a little bit, questioning why Holy Communion itself wasn't listed as a devotion. To receive Holy Communion seems to be the first, but I was impressed that visits to the Blessed Sacrament actually went before all of this, and that has been for some time now one of the suggestions that I have to parents who are struggling to have their children behave in church, is to bring them on a short visit sometime during the week when nothing is going on at the church, so that it can just be them there before Jesus, and the children can see, for just a few moments, how to stop by the church, make a short visit, maybe light a candle, say some prayers, and have the children observe their parents, or at least one of the parents, with devotion, genuflecting, kneeling in prayer, and to see this true piety, this true devotion to our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. And I think if we can emphasize our Lord's real presence in the tabernacle, the posture, the mannerisms, our attitude in church will begin to reflect that which we truly believe, which we truly understand. And so seeing the disrespect or the indifference so often at church leads me to think, do these people have any faith at all? Do they really believe that they are in the presence of our Lord? It is something I think that we could all do better. I was mentioning, I think, to Brother Pascal over the weekend and to Sister, I can remember my grandmother, whatever you showed her, she would always say, "That's good, but..." And there was always that but. And I says, I guess it infected me somewhat, because it always seems to me that I preach, we can do better. We can always do more. No matter how much effort we put into something, no matter how well we do it, there is something always a little bit more that we can do. And I attribute that because our hearts, as St. Augustine said, are made for God, are made for the infinite, and we can always do more for God, we can always love Him more. And so our goal should be truly to do better than we did yesterday, to love God more than we did yesterday, and to love Him more tomorrow than we love Him today, and to have that ever-increasing goal of reaching higher, of doing more. And in the spiritual life, I think we often get a taste of that, you make a little bit of progress, and then you realize just how little you made, and you see very little progress through your own eyes. It really is someone else. I think God hides our progress from us so that we keep striving for more, striving after perfection, which is always just out of reach, because I think the greatest act of love is that constant striving, constant reaching. And so, yes, in our visits to the Blessed Sacrament, our attendance at Mass on Sundays and holy days, we can always do better. I don't say that to crush anyone's spirit, but to encourage us to always strive to put forth our best, especially in the presence of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. We have no questions or comments. We can end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.